Okay. Perek Zayin, page 192. Igeres HaTshuva. Ve'ulam. Derech ha'emez va'yosher. The true straight way, lebchinas tshuvitato, to this concept that we've been talking about, of the lower form of tshuva, and we're going to get to both tonight, which is the return of heitato hanal. Last week we discussed that when a Jew does a chet, he drags the heitato, which is the shechina, into the muck, he drags it into the sitra achra. So, the way to do tshuva, hembez dvarim derech klal, involve two things in a general way. These are two concepts that we see a lot in Peleyot. Ha'echad, number one, hu lo'eire rachmim hal yoinim mim koir harachmim al nishmosay v'nafshay yodikis. The first thing is to arouse the highest heavenly mercy from the source of all mercy and his neshama. The neshama referring to the godly soul, shenaflam igra rama, that has taken such a plunge from the highest of heights, which is Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu, where it was connected to the source of all life. And where did it plunge to? Libira mikta, it plunged into the deepest pit, that refers to the chambers, the dwelling place of all iniquity and the dark side. That's step number one, is to plead for rachmim about the sad, pathetic state of what we've done to our neshamas. Number two, v'al mikoira, b'mikoira chayim, hu shem avaya baruch hu. The second thing is to plead for rachmim to the source, because remember last week he discussed that the neshama is like a chevel, it's like a rope, and what we do below affects its source above. As a result, okay, we're on 192, fifth line. So the next step, is to arouse heavenly mercy for the source of the neshama, Hushem Avaya Baruch Hu, which is the name, this particular name, it's going to be very important, this name of Hashem, of Yud and then He, and then Vav and then He, Kamesh Iksiv V'yoshev El Havaya V'yirachmeu. What does this mean? So he's now telling us. Step number one was to arouse heavenly mercy on our neshamas that we've totally wrecked. Step number two is to arouse rachmim on the source of the neshama. Pirish. First word on the line. Pirish. Lo'er rachmim al hashpoas shem avaya. What do you mean? To be ma'er rachmim on the shem? Because what's happening is that Hashem created a system where this name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is pouring forth energy into our neshamas. And when we are dwelling in the pits, when we're living in the world of the dark side, the Shem Avaya is forcing its energy through us all the time. We're the conduit, we're the pipeline, but instead of the pipeline going through Kedusha, we are forcing the Shem Avaya to send its sources, all its resources and energy, into the chambers of darkness. Look at what we've done. We've taken this abundant stream of wonderful, life-giving, godly energy and plummeted it through the world in the chambers of the dark side. And not only that, but we're forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in sustaining that darkness through the actions of human beings and their various plans, and their evil thoughts. Like the Pasuk says, Melech Asur Birahatim, a king who is tied up in chains, says the Zoya Birahita Mecha. What's he tied up in? He's tied up in the flowing of our thoughts. Meaning, when a Jew's thoughts are in the, you know what, in the garbage, and the Rebbeinu Shalom's energy is constantly flowing through our thoughts, we are taking the Rebbeinu Shalom with us into those chambers. Yibchinez Galdas HaShechina Kanal, and this is the simplest term, the simplest understanding of Galdas HaShechina. We take Hashem's godly energy and we drag it into the abyss. Uzman Mesugal Lezeh, the best time to do these two forms of tshuva, meaning the first one is to arouse heavenly mercy upon our souls. The second is to appeal for mercy about what we've done to the flow of the Shekhinah. So a very unique time for this, Hubitikin Chatzais, was at midnight, Kmashik Sibis Sida Ba'ora, Ayin Sham Biure, look at the explanation there. Vizeh Shiksiv Sham, this is the explanation of what it says in Tikkun Chatzos, for those of us who do it all the time, is Nafla Teres Reshenu, the crown of our head has fallen, Oy Lanu Kichatanu, woe upon us. What is he saying? That we've taken Ateres Reshenu, we've taken the crown, the flow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and dragged it into the world of Chatoim. For this reason, Hashem is called a disgraced king. The great Mekubal explains, there's nothing more disgraceful, we're up at the top of Tzadik Zayin now, than forcing the king to sustain his enemy. Especially, Kashi is being in Amaskil. If any thinking person ponders, Bigdulas in Tzayv Baruch Hu, which is Memali Kolam and Vesayv of Kolam, and if we have the ability to further ponder the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who suffuses everything, and who encompasses everything, Kol Echad V'Echad L'Fishi Yasich Lev Avinasai, each of us, according to our unique ability to ponder godliness, so to the degree that we're able to ponder the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that degree, can we have regret about what we've done to the energy created and sustained by that God? So he's a very interesting contrast here. He's saying, meaning to the degree that we have any concept of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that degree will we sense the regret and embarrassment over what we've done to the energy that flows from that God. The greater the understanding, the deeper the understanding, the deeper the regret. So this is step number one. Step number one is to arouse heavenly mercy for the Shekhinah and for our neshamas. Ve'abeiz, the second form is levateish ulachnia klipa v'sitrach. The second thing we need to do in tshuva is to beat up and to degrade the klipa sitrachra, to beat up and wipe out, to pound the dark side, asher kol chiyusu rak p'chinis gasus v'agba. Phenomenal. Look at this definition of sitrachra. The entire definition of the sitrachra is gasus, is arrogant v'agba, and an inflated ego. So if you beat it, it no longer exists. Phenomenal interpretation, a very easy solution. Beat it down, and it's gone. K'meshiksev, like the Pasuk says, im tagbiya kenesha, if you pick yourself up like an eagle, Hashem says, I will lower you from there. How does one beat up the sidrachra? V'habitu shvachna ad ofer mamish, if somebody can really get it down to the earth point, zeu misasa ubitula, it is its death and its nullification. I know, how do we do this? Ayidei lev nishpa v'nitke. This is the entire point of a broken heart. A broken heart is to break the arrogance, to break the false ego. V'liyas nivza b'ein of nimas, so that the sitra achra is, and we, about our wrongdoing, we are disgusted with ourselves, we're repulsed by our wrongdoing. U'kameshiksiv b'zayah kodesh al-posuk zivche elikim Ruach Nishbara. Listen to this. The Zohar says, the Pasuk says, Zivche Elikim, a sacrifice to Elikim, is Ruach Nishbara, is a broken spirit. Lev Nishba V'nidke Elikim Leisivza. A broken heart, a lowered heart, God will not disgrace. Now, look what he says here. Notice the name of God used in this Pasuk. Right? Elikim. Every time the Torah mentions the concept of carbon, the only name used in conjunction with carbonos is the Shem Avaya. comes this pasuk and talks about Elokim when it's talking about Zivche Elokim. What's going on? Every other sacrifice, if it comes from animals, it's for Shem Avayu, Midas Arachamim. It's the name of compassion, of mercy. Aval Shem Elokim Midas Adin, Ein Makribim Karban Behema. When we're talking about the name of Elokim, which is the attribute of justice, there is no such thing as an animal being sought. The only time you use it, you use harshness, is to break one's arrogance. To get rid of the ruach hatumah, the spirit of impurity, and the dark side, zeu riuch nishbara. That's what the concept is. It's interesting because we have one fellow by the shir who's always bothered by this concept of why the negativity, right? So he's answering it here. It's only the negativity vis-a-vis the averis, because that takes all the air out of the sitra achra. But when it comes to the midas harachmim, no, there you bring an animal, there it's referring to the name of mercy. But when we're talking about clapping and putting one down, it's talking about putting down the negativity. It's putting down the negativity itself. How do we do that? Kishalev nishba v'nitke, with a broken heart. So how do you break your heart? Right? Now, the popular culture would have an answer for that, but that's not what we're looking for. He named Ma'at Mizeir, a very little bit. Notice a double language. A very little bit of brokenheartedness, who all you de sigufim vitanias, is through torture, like not having an iPhone, or fasting. In our generations, small forms of torture. Right? We don't have the koyach to fast. Like David HaMelech did. David HaMelech says his heart was empty inside of him. Come Chazal in the Gemara, and they tell us that David HaMelech killed his Yetzirah with fasting. We can't do that. So what do we do? Listen carefully. Ach iker hachnos halev, the main function of humbling one's heart is lias nishbe v'nidke, is to be tzibrochet, to be broken, and lowly ve'avor as ruach hatumah v'sitra achra, and to get rid of this spirit of impurity and darkness, hu lias mimore d'chushbana, is to be an accountant. To be a master of accounting, it's the language of the Zohar. Ba'imik adas, in real depth, meaning, lahamik daitai ubinosai sha'achas b'chol yoyim elayla. That is, to spend and go deep into one's mind for a set amount of time. Sha'achas here doesn't mean an hour, it means a set amount of time, every day or night. Lifnei tikin chatzois, before one's going to say tikin chatzois. And even if you're not going to say tikkun chatzos, lihizboinen, to contemplate b'mash apol v'osa b'chatov, to realize what we've affected, what we've ruined with our sins. P'chines golus hashchina kanal. The first thing is that we need to contemplate what we've done to this magnificent energy that comes forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we've dragged it into the dark side. And what's more, that we've uprooted, we've ripped away our godly soul from the source of life. And we've dragged it and lowered it into the place of impurity and death itself. We've dragged it into the chambers of the other side, the person himself, the neshama, ends up becoming a chariot to the forces of darkness. Instead of his neshama being a conduit to godliness, his whole being ends up being a conduit to the other side. To his body, as he said in the last parak, that in these days we're sustained primarily by the sitra achra. Now he says a magnificent taj. V'zesh amr chazal. Now with this introduction, we understand what our sages say. Rishoyim b'chayeyim kriyim esim. That the wicked, even while they're alive, are dead. Kloimar, what they're telling us is, shechayeyim nimshochem mimokem amavis v'tumah. That their entire life force comes through a place of death and negativity. David HaMelech says the dead will not praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very insensitive thing to say, especially for anybody who has anybody who knows anybody who's dead. It's just not a nice thing to say about dead people. We're not mocking the dead. That wouldn't be nice. David HaMelech was a nice person. El hakavon al rishoyim. This refers to wicked people. Shebechayim kruyim meisim. When David HaMelech says le yameisim yaluka, he's talking about people who are well, alive, and well physically. Shemeval v'lemeisim emachshav azarais. What does it mean when David HaMelech says that they're not going to be able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is an astounding tide. He says that the result of their actions is that they're bombarded with so many extraneous thoughts that even while they're saying Hallel, they can't think about what they're saying. That what happens is that Rebbeinu Shlom distances them so that they don't even desire to do tshuva, because they're so sustained by the forces of darkness that their ritzonos are uprooted. So now, wait one second. So he goes back and says that's the meaning of Rishayim B'chayim Kriya Mesim. That the wicked, even while they're alive, they're called dead, meaning they're drawing their entire sustenance and kaiches from the kaiches HaTumah. That's the pshat. Right after the parentheses on page 194. V'af mishalei over al oven kareis. Even a person who's never violated a kareis. Now, last chapter, the chapter before, he talked about that when a person is over on an iser kareis, that he cuts himself off. So what about the rest of us, who hopefully have not done a chayvik krisis? What about people who have never even violated something where they'd be subject to death by heaven? Like one who spills seed for naught. People who do stam, easy, convenient sins. So do they have to worry too about being called mesim? Are they dead? Even if we've just done leichta averis, as we say in Yiddish, leichta averis, kleine leichta averis. Me'achash en poigim im b'neshama, but due to the fact that every avera corrupts the neshama, v'nefesh v'adikis, and the godly soul, u'kamashah p'gimah su'psikas chaval andakim k'na. Remember he gave the mashal 2 weeks ago of a rope that's made up of many small ropes. Is if a person does many small avedas, is yachalias pigam k'may belav echad sheyosh beikaris amisa, they can end up being in the same bad place as a person who's done one serious violation that involves kares or that death penalty. V'afilu b'kfeilas chet echad palmim rabbis ma'oid, even if a person violates an avera through doing this very, he doesn't do many chatoim, but he does one chait many times, again and again. It's k'meshehim shel hanavi hachatoim linin hamafil or hashemesh. The navi compares a person who does an avera to a person who's darkening the light of the sun. K'meshehim v'chisikav pishoecho. The image we need to have is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is trying to emanate iris, light, energy to our neshamas. And we're putting kavdalas anan of chashuch. It's like the barrier of a dark, finstere vulkan, a cloud, that's creating a barrier between the sun and us. What is the second half of the pasuk? It's like our sins are like a cloud. Those are the small leicht averes. Shaldam dosh by cave of those kinds of things that we easily trample upon. Hamavdilim kavdalnas onan kal v'kolish aderech mashal. Those are like wispy small clouds. But you get enough wispy small clouds, not the dark black ones, you still can't see the sun. Now, v'hine k'moy shebemashal hazeh, k'meisim adam neged ar hashemesh b'chalayin mechitzes kales uklushayis. If a person were to go over to a window, the sun is shining through the window, and he puts up a very small shade, right? Nothing, just the almost a translucent shade, right? But he does l'rayv ma'ayit. He puts up 20, 30, 40 of them. All of a sudden, hen mafilos k'may mechitza achas of aviyoseh. They're going to end up being as thick and as obstructing as one very thick one. Is it a kocha mamish hu benimshal? We need to understand the same is true in the way of a parable. The same is true b'chol avoinis sh'adam dash b'keva, with all the avoiris that a person tramples upon. U'mikol shken ha'mefursamais b'divrei chazal. Now, he says, not only are we talking about the stam avoiris that a person tramples upon, but how much more so in those avoiris where chazal use extravagant exaggerations. Shen kamamish kavei dezora v'gilarayis v'shichas damim. Chazal say about certain averus that they're just like idolatry. They're like immorality. They're like murder. Kamei olam asayin minat tzedakah. For instance, a person who is requested to give tzedakah. Kamei shikziv yisham alachal penia davim levavcha b'liel, b'liel uvay v'davay dezalilim. A person who doesn't give tzedakah, Chazal say he's like an idolater. Or, hamasape b'gnos chaveris, somebody who speaks evil of another Jew. I'm sorry, Lashon Hara, Shkula Kavei Dezor, V'Gilarayis V'Shvichas Damim. Lashon Hara, Chazal compared to all three. Or, V'Chalakayis, Kilo Eved Avei Dezor. Anybody who gets angry at me, it's like they are idolaters. V'Chem Yishiyash Begas Eseruach. Similarly, Chazal compare a person who's arrogant to an idolater. U'Kehein Rabbis B'Gemara, we see many Mishalim like that. But the worst of them is v'talmid Torah k'neged kulam. The worst violation is the violation of not learning when we have the opportunity to learn k'mayim chazal. V'itra HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'avoy dezora v'chuda. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to overlook all them. But al oven bitl Torah le'vitr, but he refused to overlook the sin of the study of Torah. U'lechein. Now he adds another thing. Ulechein sidru b'krishma shalamita. For this reason, Chazal established in nighttime krishma before you go to bed, the Kabbalah lov dalad mises bezn, that a person should accept upon themselves in the language of the krishma shalamita. It says that a person should accept upon themselves as if they were receiving all four forms of death. Now, milvad shal pi asoid. He says that's simply to atone for all of these averis that we just mentioned. If a person was arrogant, if a person spoke lashon hara, if a person did any of these, so they'd be culpable for the death penalty. So we say that because that's also ki'ilu, right? You don't have to carry them out, because just like doing the averis ki'ilu, so saying that prayer before Krishna is also ki'ilu. It's also like if. But in addition, says the Baal Tani, mavad shal pi asoid, according to Kabbalah, somebody who corrupts the letter Yud of Hashem's name, it's as if he's culpable, skila. That's stoning, death by stoning. That's death by pouring hot lead. Somebody who corrupts the letter Vav of Hashem's name, that's the sword. That's choking. Vamavat Krishma, and to make this practical, he says somebody who misses Krishma is pagan by Yud, he corrupts the letter Yud. Utfilin by Hey, somebody who misses out on Tfilin has corrupted the letter Hey, Vitzitzis by Vav, Tzitzis, the letter Vav, Tfilin by Hey, Vichulu. Is Umizeh Yochal Amaskil Lilmed Lashara by Nisvichatoim Abitl Terkinagat Kulam. From here, we can extrapolate to all other Averis and imagine that Bitl Terkinagat is worse than all of them. So, we have these two steps in tshuva that he's talking about here, tshuva tata. Number one is to plead for mercy both for our soul and for the energy of the Shekhinah that we've corrupted. Step number two is to put down the Sitra Achra. Now notice that one is an uplifting and the other is a lowering. Right? Each of us, as if going back to the first section of Tanya, each of us is made up of these dual components. Each of us has a nefesh aliki and nefesh abahami. What he's really saying here is, we got to plead for mercy to get our nefesh aliki back where it needs to be, and we got to beat down the animal soul to put it in its place, right? So that there's a double thing here. Now, look what he does in chapter 8. If we really think about what we just talked about, the corruption that we bring through our averus is yochel levakesh be'emes mum kadaliba. This will give us the ability, when we realize the harm that we've done, we have the ability to plead with tremendous depth. Hashem, please, with your abundant mercy, wipe away my averus. Because when we realize the damage we've done, that gives us the ability to really have a sense of how pathetic and how pitiful what we've done to our godly soul is, Ushalamali Kanal, and the neshama above. Ubizeh. Here we go. What are we trying to appeal to? What we need to do is to plead to the highest mercy. Miyud Gimel Midos Arachmim, the 13 attributes of mercy. Anim Shachis Mirotzen Elyon Baruch Hu. He said earlier, these Yud Gimel Midos Arachmim appeal to the highest place, meaning that which is called Rotzen Elyon, the highest desire. Hanirmez Bikutze Shal Yud. That's the Shem Havaya starts with a Yud, right? It's a Yud and then a Hey and then a Vav and then a Hey. The tip of the Yud. If we want to go back and rectify the harm we've done in the order of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you got to go back to something before that in order to rectify it. Therefore, we're going back to the Kutz Shel Yid, which is above that. That's the Ratzon Elyon before any form of creation. Remember that the definition of Hashem's name, of Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey, is Hoy Hoy Vaviyya Mahavi Kol Olamis. He brings everything into existence. We've corrupted that existence, so we need to go back to something which is prior to that. That's the 13 attributes of mercy. The 13 attributes of mercy is that which we appeal to, which is even earlier or higher than the Shem Havayah. If we can reach and appeal to that highest place, we wipe away, it wipes out all corruption. Like the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries the chait and then wipes it out. V'shuv, and the result of that is, when we appeal to this highest place, if we're able to be ma'ir of that rachim, if we could come up and feel mercy, feel and plead for mercy, the result of that is that the outer forces can no longer usurp and leech upon that which we fed. The Vasitra Achra Mashbaz Heita Tokanal. We remove all of their being able to the corruption that we fed them. They can no longer leech off of that. Ubizeh Toshuv Heita Tolim Kaima. And by doing so, we return this letter Hey to its correct place, to once again be returned to the first three letters of Hashem's name, to return Hashem's name to its correct and full four-letter word. And what happens above, if we return the name of Avaya to its place, the same thing will take place in our nefesh alikis, in our godly soul here. Shuv einav nisaychem avdilim. Then we removed all the barriers. K'meshiksev enakei. Menakehu l'shavim. The Rebbeinu Shalalem cleanses those who return to him. Lirchaitz, to wash. V'lenakeis, and to cleanse. Nafshom milavushim atzayim, to our souls from their filthy garments. Hey machitzoinim, that which are the outside forces. K'meshiksev gemara milfavte. The gemara says that a person's averus hover around him, they cover him, and they take him the yamamisa to the day of death. So this cleanses a person from that. Umeyachar shiruach avei avra batitarem. Since this spirit is gone and the person is cleansed, os tuchel nafshom loshav adavaya baruch hu mamish, then the person is literally able to once again be reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lalois malim malim kaira, to go to its earliest, highest source, uledavka b'yizbarach b'yichud niftal, to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an awesome, tremendous unity. K'may shayisim yuchedus b'yizbarach b'tachlis ha'yichud, to what degree, how unified could a person be? A person could be unified in the ultimate, the pinnacle of unity, b'terem shenafcha b'ruach pivyus baruch leir lamata. The person can return to a place where they can be unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, kaviyachol, before the blow of his neshama ever took place. Ulislavish b'guf adam, to be embodied, encased in the human body. In parentheses, u'kamaya derech mashal, if you want to use, we just turn the page to 196. In the way of a parable, ba'adam anifeach b'ruach piv, b'terem sheyotzei ruach mipiv, u'miyuchad b'nafshi. Just like, imagine our own breath. So before we blow it, it's unified totally with us in our soul. V'zu hi tshuva shleima. This is the definition of true tshuva, meaning that the person is completely and totally restored to the Shem Havaya. V'nei b'chinas yichud zeh u'tshuva zu, y'b'chinas tshuva ilah, shel achat tshuva tata. So now he uses some fancy words which are very confusing. This tshuva that we just described is the higher form of tshuva that succeeds the lower form of tshuva, but this is not referring to the highest form of tshuva, tshuva ilah. The tshuva ilah, do you know what the real highest tshuva is? Hudis asik b'araisa. The highest tshuva is the study of Torah. B'dechilu v'rechimu, with fear and with love. D'kut shabrichu v'chulu d'yu ben yud kei bina v'chulu. There the Zohar speaks of the awesome unity that takes place when a person learns Torah b'dechilu v'rechimu, that he's at a complete and total nullification. Meaning, when a person fulfills a mitzvah, there's an I that's fulfilling the mitzvah. But when a person learns Torah, then a person is completely and totally nullified to the godly ideas that are going through his mind and brain at that moment. And as a result, that unity is deeper than any unity that would take place in what's called Tshuva Tato, which would involve other mitzvahs. And there he's going to go into this next week, but ultimately we have to understand here that if we can arouse heavenly mercy on our neshamas and over the destruction, and that we've wreaked havoc in the world, that we return that energy back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we return the Shechina, which is the Hei Tato, and reattach it, recombine it back to the earlier letters. This helps us get a little glimpse into Ki'imcha Haslicha Leman Tivore, because he said here that if a person is detached, they can no longer feel. The Alei Shemayim says, Ki'imcha Haslicha, because you Hashem offer us forgiveness, Leman Tivore, it could restore our emotions back so that we can once again fields. If we remove all those barriers that we've put up, even with the smalcha time, we can ultimately come to a place of the mantivari that we can have a sense of some spiritual reality, some feeling.